Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Tomorrow will be free. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you to today's episode of Everyday Muslim on your favorite station, WFM 91.7. Apartheid, proxy militia, disproportionate force are some of the terminologies that you've been used to and you're familiar with when we talk about the decade-long crisis in Palestine land, right? Today on the show, inshallah ta'ala, we'll deeper into this. First things first, Everyday Muslim Show is a show where we do our best to address the misconceptions around Islam. We foster peaceful coexistence. We try to guide ourselves, Everyday Muslim, on this journey of Islam. Because at the end of the day, we all want to be reunited under the shade of Allah on the day it will matter the most. Today's topic, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be looking at United in Solidarity, Roles of Religions in the Palestine-Israel Crisis. My name is Amin Adams. I'll be the one in driver's seat. I'll drive this vehicle all the way till 12 noon. I do pray that we're going to have a beautiful show today. I have two guests that will do justice to this. So just grab your friends, family members, everyone to be a part of today's show. Today on the show, we're going to delve into one of the most complex and enduring conflicts in the world, the Palestine-Israel crisis. It's a topic filled with passion, pain, and hope, and we'll be navigating the historical, political, and humanitarian aspects of this crisis. We'll try our best to shed light on various perspectives and utmostly seek a deeper understanding of the challenges and hope for peace in the region. Join us as we explore personal stories, the history, and current events that shape this ongoing struggle for peace and justice. I'm going to go straight because it's a long day ahead of us. I have two guests joining us to discuss this. They're joining virtually. They're both here right now. I want us to get as far as we can and then open the phone line so you can also add your voice to the discourse. First up, I'll introduce to us Dr. Salahuddin Muniruddin Ariadi. He's a regular on the show. He's a lecturer at Department of Foreign Language, Lagos State University of Education. He's also the Mudir of Zamzam Academy in Ota. Imam Ariadi holds a PhD in Arabic Linguistic Studies, International Islamic University in Malaysia. He holds a PhD in Nigeria from Nigeria Open University. He holds MA Arabic and Literature, Language and Literature from Lagos State University in Lasu. He also holds a BA in Arabic Language from Usman Danfodio University in Sokoto. He holds a diploma in Zuleika Abiola College of Arabic and Islamic Studies in Abeokuta. He's an author of many, many books. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Ariadi. Good to have you here.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Thank you, my sister.
Alhamdulillah. Naam, alhamdulillah. Joining us on the show for the first time, and inshallah ta'ala, first of many, many more episodes to come, Imam Najim Jimo. He's the chief imam of the Lighthouse Muslim Community in Lekki. He's a political scientist par excellence. He's a public policy analyst. He's a keen commentator on social and political affairs and a key influencer on social media. Believe it or not, he also, apart from Islam and politics, he also dabbles into the business world. My daddy must make money. He happens to be an executive in the oil and gas industry here in Nigeria. Brothers and sisters, join me welcoming Imam Najim Jimo to the Everyday Muslim Show. Imam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good to have you here, alhamdulillah. Inshallah ta'ala, hopefully at the end of today's show we'll be able to enlighten people, disabuse their minds about what is actually going on in the Israeli-Palestine crisis. I'm going to start off with Imam Najim. The conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians has been ongoing for more than 70 years, as we know, especially since 1948, when the British withdrew from what was then known as Palestine and Jewish leaders declared the creation of the State of Israel. Imam, can you provide an overview of the Israeli-Palestinian crisis, its historical and political context?
Okay, thank you very much. It was in 1948, as you have said, that officially the United Nations, rather than Jewish leaders, declaring the State of Israel. That was the first time in the history of humanity in which the United States created a country. It also happens to be the last time, so the one and only time in which a country was created by the United Nations. Of course, backed by the mighty power of America, the British and Western powers generally. It was an injustice of over 70 years ago, and that simple injustice, which I'm sure we will delve further into, is the simple reason for the crisis, the unending crisis that we have seen in that region. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Imam. Let me bring you in very quickly, Sheikh Ariadi, still on the same background. How have the major religions of the two people in this space, Judaism and Islam, as well as Christianity, influenced and been influenced by this conflict? So who's suffering the most in this conflict in the Palestinian land?
Thank you very much. Like my Sheikh said, you see, this problem we are talking about is not a problem that is just happening now. It has been in the history. And every sincere person will know that it is something of injustice. It is injustice. When we are talking about the religion being one of the separate factors that contributed to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, take, for example, you know, the Prophet has told us that Masjid al-Aqsa, the mosque that is situated in Palestine, is one of the three sacred mosques. And any Salat observed there, you have 500,000 or 500 rewards multiple to any religion, I mean, any Salat you have performed in any other place. So Muslims have Palestine as one of the sacred city, sacred town. You trace the history of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back to Palestine. You trace the history of Dawood, Isa, Ibrahim, Zakaria, Musa. So talk of any prophet of Allah, may Allah be pleased with them, you traced it back to Palestine. But you see, the facts still remain that if you're talking about the Jewish religion or Yahudism, you still trace it back to Palestine, where we have Knesset al-Qiyama, the church that is situated there. But the church met the mosque there. And we have what we call Al-Ha'it al-Garbi, that is Ha'it al-Barak, Western War or William War, where the Jews will go and cry and supplicate. They find it there. But this also met the mosque there. So when we are talking about the region that has the custody of that Palestine, we talk about Islam. And even when you are talking about the birth of Jesus in Jerusalem, yes, there's nothing bad in that, but we find it, we trace it back to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated it, and the history of Islam has shown that Palestine is a sacred place for Islam. So, but because these people want to make sure that they eliminate Islam and they eliminate Muslims, that is why we have what we are having today as tribulation. Wallahu alam.
Imam, let me just come to Imam Najim very quickly. Now, still furthering from where Sheikh Ariadi stopped, different actors have used religion to justify their position and claim to the land. Now, the Holy Land is sacred to the three religions of Judaism, as elucidated to by Imam Ariadi. You know, he's mentioned the wall where the Jews go to perform their religious rites. He's also mentioned the church and as well, you know, the masjid that has been the Masjid al-Aqsa that we've known from history, subhanAllah. So all the three religions technically coexist. What impact has this occupation had on the freedom of worship, especially for Christians and Muslims in their holy places in these occupied territories? And I'm asking you this, Imam Najim Jimmo, basically, so that people who are unaware of the reality of on ground, because a lot of people, there's so much information out there, and it's quite confusing. People rarely understand what is the crux of the matter. Perhaps you will help shed light on this.
Okay, thank you very much. That land that is called, that has always been called, known as Palestine, right, has been a land of Judaism. It was a land of Christianity, and it is a land of Islam. By the way, the Jewish prophet called Israel was the Christian prophet called Jacob, and was the Muslim prophet called Yaqub. Right?
No.
Now, the origin traced back to Prophet Abraham alayhi salatu wasalam. As you know, Ibrahim had two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail and his mother were settled in what is today known as the Kaaba or Mecca, Makkah al-Mukarram, right, in Saudi Arabia. Now, Ishaq was settled in the area that is today known as Jewish area, right? Ishaq, it was who gave birth to Yaqub. The same person called Jacob, the same person called Israel. And Yaqub himself gave birth to 12 sons, of which was Prophet Yusuf, Joseph, to the Christians.
No.
Right? Now, so the Jews traced their history to Prophet Yaqub and his father, Prophet Ishaq. May Allah's peace remain upon them.
Amen.
Right? So there was a time that this land was the land of Judaism. That was the prominent religion there, and it was no issue. And then Allah raised Jesus Christ, Prophet Isa, alayhi salatu wassalam. Israel should be the number one Christian nation, or should have been, at some point in history. For all of us know what happened, what the Jews did to Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wassalam. They crucified him, and according to them, they killed him, right? Now, that was a manifestation of their intolerance for anything that was different to the established order. So they killed Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and it was a particular tribe of them who killed him. And it was from them that they started to run away from that city, because people were looking for those who do that to seek retribution. Right? So we mentioned Prophet Ishaq, Prophet Yaqub, Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and then Allah raised the final messenger. The final messenger being Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then, just as that was a land of Judaism, a land of Christianity, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. His parents were from Nazareth, both of them being in modern-day Israel. Right? Then Allah raised the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? And just as the people of the towns accepted what the prophets of old brought to them, the people of the area, they accepted Islam in their name. Having accepted Islam, they did not tell the Christians or the Jews that you couldn't live here anymore. You must leave the city. No, their intolerance to accept anything different, anything new, was part of why, as the Muslims became majority, they started to leave, to disperse, and they were settling all over the world, in Europe, in Germany, in Britain, and all these places, until the Second World War started. And this is cutting the story short, and then Hitler killed so many of them, about 6 million Jews, and then the United Nations ultimately decided that we must resettle these people in a place. You should bear in mind that Uganda was one of the countries that was first proposed as the place they were going to settle them in, until they ultimately arrived to settle them in Palestine. Now, finally, I've taken time on this point, the similitude of what happened in 1948 will be that, you know, before the Prophet was raised in Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people of Mecca, they had a faith. It was idolatry. Yes. It was idol worshipping. But when Allah raised the Prophet from amongst them, they embraced him in the main, and the land became a Muslim land. The simple similitude of what the United Nations did would be for the United Nations to go to the city of Mecca, saying that, yes, Allah has raised the Prophet amongst you, you have all accepted Islam, but there is this pocket, little number of you who remain on your idolatry, and then we are going to split this country into two, and we are going to create a new country for the idol worshippers amongst you, even though you have in your large numbers accepted the faith of Islam. That was exactly what happened in 1948.
Wow, what a journey through memory lane. Jazakumullah khairan, Imam. Before we go on a break, because I need to sell my market, you know, I have to sell. Before we take any break, inshallah ta'ala, we will go. Let me take a question quickly. Imam Ariadi, there's a major area of dispute between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and that's about, you know, conflicts claim to sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem or parts of it and access to the holy sites. Now, the Palestinians claim East Jerusalem will be the capital of their future nation. However, a 2020 survey estimates that of the 162,000 Palestinian Christians living in historic Palestine, a large number of them live in East Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. According to Afro-Palestine Newswire Service, indigenous Christian Palestinians once constituted over 19% of the population of the historic Palestine, but number less than 2% today due to the effects of the Israeli occupation. Now, with the Muslims being in clear majority up till today in spite of the persecution in Palestine, how will the right of access to the holy sites be assured to the Jews and Christians in a future Palestinian state?
Thank you, my sister. Our Sheikh has just given us an insight into what has happened.
Ma'am.
You see, if you go by the history, we will ask a question. And the fundamental question is, the land belongs to who? the land belongs to who? By the time we answer that question, we'll be able to solve the problem on the ground. You see, today the Israelites are claiming that the land belongs to us, but we have it clear noted in the history that even once upon a time, the Prime Minister of Israel, Shimon Peres, has also fought for citizenship in Palestine.
Mm.
You see, there was a clear information that is not even ambiguous, it's written boldly, that this Prime Minister has also applied for visa to go into Palestine. So this shows that the land belongs to those that are in Palestine. And like Imam has rightly said, the fact that some people were pagans before and they embrace Islam and they continue to perform, to practice Islam, does not mean that you now share the land with the minority, that okay, because some of you are still pagan, let's share the land between you. It's like going to Mecca, like he has rightly said. So what I would just advise is that let's go straight to the history, do the things the way it should be done, give the rights to those that own the right, they will be able to solve the problem. Because now, the fact is that we have the mosque there, we have the wall, a wailing wall there, and the mosque is there. We are not saying that, okay, outrightly the Christians should be eliminated, they should not be there again. And this is not what we are saying. We are not also saying that the Jews are not having their ways of doing it. It happens everywhere. But give the right to the owner of that right so that you let the peace reign. But because of this injustice that Israel and those that are supporting them are perpetrating, that is why they want to distort the history.
Mm.
In as much as you are distorting the history, the owner of a property will not let go.
Mm.
So until we are able to do that, then the right will go to its owner.
Mm.
Wallahu ta'ala.
Subhanallah. If I hear you clearly, just to restate or reiterate what you just said, is to return to history, give the land back to its owner, let them decide. Subhanallah. And you've also clarified that there is no issue with the rights of worship. The Christians have been worshipping, even when it was a Muslim land, they had access to their holy sites, so also the Jews, and they still do till date. So people should rarely stop interfering, external forces. All right, let me quickly come to Imam, let me stay with you, actually. Imam Maria, let me stay with you. According to Archbishop Atta Lahana of the Orthodox Church of Sebastia in Palestine, Palestinian Christians or Muslims are deprived by Israel of visiting holy sites in Jerusalem. And we see that a lot when we see them bombing the masjid or, throwing open bombs in open spaces where they are. So they're constantly preventing practitioners of the Christian faith and Muslim faith from their holy sites. Israel justifies their policies on the claim that the Jews have a special religious connection to the land. What is the Muslim belief on this special religious connection of the Jews to Jerusalem? And is it right to invoke ruthless violence to seek legitimacy, even if their claim is actually right?
Yes, we are still on the same point, my dear sister.
Naam.
Islam is not denying the fact that they have the right to that place. But you see, if you go to the history, that was why I mentioned the Wailing Wall.
Mm-hmm.
The Wailing Wall, we have Ha'itli Mopka, where the Jews will come around, they slot their letters there, they believe when they have a problem, they write it on a sheet of paper, they will slot it there, they drop it there, they continue to do all sorts of things they are doing. But you see, it is because of the history, because Islam did not deny the access to that land. But when we are talking about the ownership, okay, I have a car, and you drop your wallet in my car.
Mm.
So after a while, you come to claim the car. I won't leave my car. I can only allow you to take your wallet. That is just imperable. So they have that access to that. The really world they are claiming now, in Islamic history, that was where the Prophet Islam tied his camel when Allah wanted to take him to come and to ascend through Jerusalem. So if you are talking about the willing world they are talking about, it's because they came there to come and worship. It is not their place. They did not hold that place. So it was just for them to seek for the permission and approval of those that own the land to give them permission. It's not as if you come and invade them, then you tell them that they have to go for you. That is where the problem lies. Wallahu alam.
Naam, jazakumullah khairan, Imam. Imam Najim, I want to come to you now. However, I am sure you wouldn't be able to respond fully to the question, so I'll just set the question out. I'll let you have the question so you can ponder over your response. I'll go on a break, pay some bills, come back, and you give us a response. So basically, it's about our roles. We are not Palestinians. We are Nigerians. We're Nigerian Muslims and Nigerian Christians. You know, what roles do we have to play? But I want to read an extract from a letter that the Palestinian Christians wrote on 26th of October, 2023. They address the letter to the Western church leaders and theologians, and it's an open letter. It's available online. Anyone can Google this, but I'm just going to read the last paragraph. Finally, and we say it with a broken heart, we hold Western church leaders and theologians who rally behind Israel's war accountable for their theological and political complicity in the Israeli crimes committed against the Palestinians, which have been committed over the last 75 years. We call upon them to re-examine their positions and to change their direction, remembering that God will judge the world in justice. And they quoted Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Now, a number of Muslim clerics and Christian leaders in Nigeria have shown solidarity to the Palestinians by visiting the embassy of the Palestinians in Nigeria, and they've expressed their support and solidarity. However, beyond this support or beyond this visit, what can we do? How can Muslims and Christian masses further relate on this issue to avoid what they, you know, Palestinian Christian groups refer to in their letter as theological and political complicity? So just add to that, are we also, you know, the Muslims, are we also complicit in this? Are we doing enough? I know the website is agog. I mean, not just the internet is agog with several images and videos, constant messages from those in Palestinian land. We have people, journalists flying in from different parts of the world, going in there to do their own bids. And so technically, there's so much information out there, and I'm hoping that at the end of today's show, we would have been able to disabuse people's minds. They now know the real truth. They now know the crux of the matter, what actually is happening in the Palestinian conflicts that we've been seeing. You know, if there's an end in sight, how will that end? And what should our own roles be? What are we supposed to do? So you can start answering, but I'll have to cut in at some point when I need to pay my bills. Imam Najim.
You mean I should go ahead? Yes. Hold on.
Yes, yes. Just, okay, I'll come back. When I come back, okay, you'll answer. But at least you got the question, right?
Yes, yes.
Perfect. So yeah. For those of you joining us via any medium, you can be a part of the show when we return from this break. Number to call, 07000-917-917. Once again, 07000-917-917 is number to call to be a part of the show. You can also send us WhatsApp messages on 0703-175-6537. I got to pay bills right now. When I come back, there's more to come on the show. The program is Everyday Muslim. We'll see you in a minute.
Put on your church shoes, little sister, because we're about to blast off.
What is it you're trying to say?
It's time to buckle up, because we're in the driver's seat.
Women Radio 91.7.
NASCO quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs.
Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7. Simplified understanding of the deen.
NASCO
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
A market for markets. Economic showcase of Nigeria's backbones. SME Mart will celebrate innovations of small and medium-sized entrepreneurs. The huge role you play in Nigeria's economy. We celebrate the gains, we learn from the losses, we identify the risks, and we explore the Nigerian venture. SME Mart, your radio business hub.
Mondays, 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs.
The stories are real.
Something like this happened to me years back. I saw some message in his phone. He did not send a message to him. When I knew him, I said, "Come, why are you like this? Why are you doing all this?"
It's all around you.
And so when she comes up to you to tell you her schedule needs, you should be humble enough to listen. And if there's something you can do about that, you do it. Is it reading books? Is it seeing a therapist? Be open to certain things, because at the end of the day, this person is your partner. That is the bottom line of everything.
My family advised him to marry the girl he has permitted. We forced him, but he refused.
So when the girl starts telling that, you call her too much, then there's something fishy.
You want to share it? Shh. People see. Alone. Break the silence culture. Adult conversations. Weeknights from 8 on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
Driving through traffic? Bored at home? Or maybe you're having a bad day. Ease your mind with great music, entertainment, and lots of laughter on The Evening Experience every weekday from 4 to 9 p.m. on WFM 91.7, The Voice of Women.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness made by a natural flaking process that retains all the natural goodness of the whole corn, whole taste, and crunchiness for the whole family. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs.
Almana Hope Foundation,
in partnership with
Women Radio 91.7, brings you
A Widow's Window,
where issues affecting widows in our society are discussed. Join Hope Mwakosi
Saturdays,
6 p.m. On WFM 91.7. A Widow's Window, giving widows a voice.
Nasco quality cornflakes are so full of nourishing goodness because they are whole flaked cornflakes. Now available in 35 grams, 55 grams, and 140 gram packs. Nasco cornflakes, nourishing goodness anytime.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your girl again. You are listening to WFM 91.7. Yeah. Keep your ear tuning. That's it. Bye-bye.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, it's the Everyday Muslim here on WFM 91.7. And we've been talking about the Palestine-Israeli crisis. I have joining us, virtually, Imam Ariadi and Imam Najim Jima. They've both been sharing insights. They've taken us down memory lane. They've shared so much, and there's still so much more to come. I'll let Imam Najim respond to the question I asked him just before the break. And we already have a question on WhatsApp, and I'll take that after Imam's response. Imam Najim.
Okay, thank you very much. Your question was around the letter written by a group of Christian clerics as to the injustice, the obvious injustice that is taking place there, and then you wanted to know what is our role as the Muslims, non-Muslims, and all. My answer is going to be divided into two.
Okay.
Number one, Dr. Ariadi made reference to the institutionalization of Salat, i.e. the introduction of Salat, right, as a pillar of Islam. Now, in the Quran, Allah says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, Subhanalladhi asra bihabbi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. So Allah mentions the name of the Masjid al-Aqsa, which is located here in Jerusalem, in the Quran, right?
No.
Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. That Allah says, praised be He who took His prophet, that is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a journey, on a night journey, from where? From the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the Kaaba, to through Masjid al-Aqsa, the Masjid in Jerusalem, around which is blessed, right? Now, there are at least three reasons why this conflict, this crisis, this war is our war as Muslims. Number one, when the Prophet came back, which salat haven't been given by his creator, right? For all of the years that he spent in Mecca, from the day that salat became obligatory, where was the Qibla of the Muslims? Our Qibla was the same Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. That was where all of the time that the Prophet spent in Mecca, he was praying, and the Muslims were praying facing Jerusalem. Number two, when he got to Medina, he spent 17 months still praying in the direction of Jerusalem until revelation came, now instructing him to be facing the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca. Number three, a very popular hadith, when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a Muslim should not pack his bag, that I am going on ziyarah, I am going on visitation to a mosque, except three mosques. Which are the three mosques that I mentioned? Masjid al-Haram, Masjid al-Aqsa, and the Haram in Medina, the Kaaba, and then the mosque in Jerusalem, and then the Prophet's mosque in Medina. If my recollection of this hadith is right, the Prophet actually mentioned Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem before he mentioned his own mosque in Medina. So you can see further why this issue is so much an issue of Islam, and it is so much an issue of the Muslims. As for the Christians, and we have found Nigerian Christians supporting, very openly supporting, the genocide, the pogrom which is taking place in Israel. This is due to ignorance. Why? The people you are supporting, they hate your religion. They hate the religion of Christianity more than any other group of religious adherents anywhere in the world. Number one, they crucified and killed your messenger, according to them. Not your messenger, they killed your Lord, according to them. Right? Number two, his mother, Mary, Maryam, who is honored in the Quran, they regard her as a prostitute, and yet you are supporting them blindly, right? Jesus himself, they regard as a bastard, even as I speak. speak with you today, they regard Joseph the carpenter as the father of Jesus, and they believe that Mary did Zeno prostitution with Joseph. So they regard your Lord as a bastard, and you continue to support these people. It is an unwritten state policy in Israel that the religion of Christianity must not be allowed to grow. Must not be allowed to grow. Do you know that in Israel, not in Palestine now, in Israel, there are Muslims who do not have any home but Israel, and they are Muslim citizens of Israel. Ever since before the division was done, and since the division, and this is how that happened. It's like someone goes to a lorry. Someone slices Ilorin into two. Some people are living in certain areas of Ilorin that their area now falls as part of the new country that is created. But that is the only homes that they have. So they remain there, now citizens of the new country, but they remain Muslim citizens of that country. That is exactly why some Muslims are citizens of Israel. And by the 2022 census, right, 19% of the citizens of Israel are Muslims. Ask me, what is the percentage of Christians in Israel? It is 1.9%, and that is because the Jews have suppressed that religion. Talk to an Orthodox Jew, those who really practice that religion, right, they will tell you that they do not have issues going into a mosque, because they regard Islam as a monotheistic religion. But no Orthodox Jew would ever step into a church. Why? Because they regard Christianity as idolatry worship. And yet, we find Nigerian Christians following them even as they kill their own people. Every time they drop, 1 in 5 people in Palestine, the population of Palestine, 1 in 5 people is either a Jew or a Christian. So every time they drop bombs on Palestine, they are killing your own Christian brothers and sisters as well. Finally, this is about humanity. What we support is humanity, and what we are against is oppression and suppression, and that is what is happening over there. Where is the humanity of the sense of humanity of the Christians who are supporting what is happening in Israel? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Imam. In fact, as you spoke, a message came in. Incidentally, this person didn't drop a name, but it's a comment, and he says, thanks very much for this important topic. I think the source of the problem in Palestine has been the ideology of Zionism, which is an ethno-political ideology driven by naked violence and support with weapons, money, and political capital by the same countries of the West, which employ the same methods to try and perpetuate colonialism in Africa and other places. Many Jews, Christians, and Muslims are allies for justice and peace on this issue, and any attempt to make it look like a religious problem is patently fraudulent. And I'd like both of you, our imams, to respond to this, because clearly this writer has introduced a word that we haven't even mentioned in the course of the show at all, Zionism. What exactly is Zionism, and how should we understand and respond to it? I'll come to you first, Imam Najim, and then Imam Ariada, you can add your own voice to it. Imam Najim. Hello, sir.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Zionism.
Yes, sir.
It's another word, if you like, a worse description of the term apartheid. There is this sense of superiority, i.e., that we are better than all other people. All other people are inferior to us, and we are free to do with them what we like. This is what Zionism is all about, and you won't find anyone define it in any positive terms other than these terrible basin terms. It is just it is a worst form of apartheid, and it is a state policy of Israel. They regard themselves as superior to all other people, including the Christians as well. And the Christians know, right? You know, when the Christians go to Israel on this pilgrimage that they do, the people who take them around, showing them around, are all Muslims. They are all Muslims. Why? Because the Israelis can tolerate the Muslims. They cannot tolerate the Christians. You can't go on the streets of Israel and then be shouting, "Jesus, Jesus." You'll be mowed down in no time. So Zionism is a worse form of discrimination and apartheid.
Thank you so much, Imam. Imam Maria, did you have any comments?
Yes, Zionism is a political organization that was established or founded around 1897 for destruction. It's all about destruction. Coming into a peaceful environment, peaceful organization, peaceful people, and separate them. And you can see that the problem we are talking about today have been championed by this Zionism we are talking about. Because Zionism is not aimed at peace. It's just for them to destabilize things and to destroy anything that is well organized. That's just my... It is a political organization anyway.
Interesting. Alhamdulillah for that clarity. I think I will say a big thank you to that comment, the person who sent in that comment, because we didn't even go down that route. Another question has come through, and I think this is directed at Imam Najim because of the figures he quoted. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's sad to hear on the program this morning that the population of Christians in Palestine has decreased from 19 to 2% as a result of the occupation. This is quite alarming and heartbreaking. How come some Christians are still supporting an ideology and movement that is being used to eradicate Christianity from its place of birth? I think that question is for Imam Najim. Of course, Imam Ariadi can support him at some point. Imam Najim.
Okay, thank you. Now, if you look at what has been happening around the world, in Germany, in Argentina, in Britain, all over the world, we've been seeing protests, right? The people doing these protests are mainly Christians. In fact, has Argentina ever supported anything Islam or Muslim? No, even in Argentina, there was a massive protest on this issue, right? The Christians of Nigeria get the impression that Christians all over the world support the Zionists of Israel. That is not the case at all. All the people that are calling for the freedom for the Palestinians, for end to occupation, they are mainly Christians, right? And we find all across the world, right, a huge population of Christians who are opposed to the Israeli occupation of Palestine and who constantly speak out against their own home government. About 3 weeks ago, the Home Secretary in the UK, that is our equivalent of the Minister for Home Affairs or Internal Affairs, she said that to raise the Palestinian flag might be a criminal offense in Britain.
Wow.
You know what happened? The following weekend, tens of thousands of British citizens came out, non-Muslims, all of them holding the Palestinian flag and daring the Home Secretary to come and jail all of them. This was the country which introduced Christianity to the world and Christianity to Nigeria. So the Christians of Nigeria that they so openly support Israel is a manifestation of the level of hate that they have for Islam. I wouldn't know how else to describe that. Either that or ignorance, sheer ignorance. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Imam Najim. Imam Mariadi, any comments to that?
Anyway, the comment that what I was about to make has been pointed out by Sheikh Najmuddin, especially the last point he raised. I wanted to talk about ignorance. You know, sometimes when you are supporting somebody that hates you most, sometimes when you are defending your enemy, sometimes when you are claiming to defend somebody who is after your life, it is as a result of ignorance. So some people don't really know what is happening over there. Some people, some Christians believe, because we want to fight the Muslims. Yes, we see some people that are fighting them now. Let's fight them. Not knowing that the Christians are part of the majority that are facing the consequence of this problem that has been caused by the silence. So that's my contribution.
Thank you so much, Mama Maria. The question has come through, and then to take it, because this might be the last question we'll take on the show as we wrap it up. My name is Fred from Ikeja. Your imam said that Jewish regards Mary as a prostitute. This is not true, sir. There is nowhere it's written. Secondly, your guys say when the Christian guy to Israel that only Muslims that take them around. This is only false. I have been to Israel. I never see Muslims taking Christians around. He also went ahead to say that you want Christians to hate the Jews as Muslims hate the Jews. Jewish and Christianity exist in Israel before Islam, and Christians will not hate Jewish as Muslims went Christian to hate Jewish. And that's from Fred from Ikeja. I'd like Imam Najim to respond first, since he's actually referring to his comment, and then Imam Ariadi, please comment and let's make those your closing remarks as we end the show. Thank you so much, Imam Najim.
Number one, I did not say only Muslims, right? Majority of the people who show people around, right, as tour guides are Muslims of Israel. You may not necessarily know, because they won't introduce themselves to you as I am a Muslim, because they are Israelis rather than Muslims.
No.
Right?
So the first clarification you're making, Imam, just to repeat, your first clarification is the fact that the people that take you around in Israel are Israelis, and they are Muslim Israelis, and so you may misconstrue or mistake them as Christians, whereas they actually are Muslims, even though they are Israelis. I think that's a clarification you made.
Yes, and you have answered that even far better than I did myself.
Okay,
right? Number two, I did not say Christians should hate Israelis, right? In no way did I say that, right? Christians should not support Israelis does not amount to or translate to Christians should hate Israelis.
True.
And then if this person who called in or who wrote in does not know how the Jews regard Mary, then the person is yet to understand his own religion. The Jews regard Mary, right? In fact, the Jews do not recognize Christianity at all, and they regard it as idolatry worship. That is how they regard Christianity. They do not recognize Jesus Christ as Lord, as the Christians do, right? And they did not even recognize him as a prophet. They saw him as an imposter, and they did not think he was the Messiah that had been prophesied in the Bible. If a Christian does not know this, this person does not understand his religion.
Thank you so much, Imam Najim. Imam Ariadi, any closing remarks before we close off?
Yes, I would just advise everybody to study more about its religion and the religion that is not practicing as well. If you are not practicing a religion, try to know something about that religion. You see, we have not come here to condemn any religion, but to point out facts. Because if you are fighting ignorantly, you may, at the end of the day, kill yourself. May Allah save us from that. So I will, at the end of this program, I would advise that, you see, one of the solutions or some solutions we can provide to this problem is interfaith dialogue. We need interfaith dialogue at local level and at international level. Maybe interfaith dialogue, if it is adopted, it will assist in this Israeli-Palestine problem we are talking about. Then I think the two continents or two people should remember the past faithful cooperation between them. They were living together before the silence we are talking about. Why don't them flashback? And what do they stand to gain in killing one another? Both of them are losing. Then we should focus on religious texts that ascertain positive and tolerant values. In Islam, we are not expected to kill people. And I think the Christians are also claiming that their religion is not preaching terrorism. So we should try to reinforce those values in the educational system and come together to live in peace. That's just my advice. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And to close off, all mankind, indeed we have created you from a male and a female and made you people and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing, all acquainted. And this is from Surah Al-Hujra. It's the 49th chapter of the Noble Quran, verse 13. You may want to refer to it for further guidance. Thank you so much, our two imams. Thank you so much for joining us. All of you that joined us and tried to call in, we appreciate your time. May God bless every single one of you out there. And this is me closing now. Thank you so much, my sis. Blessing our sound engineers and everyone behind the scenes making this a successful outing for us. We'll see you same time next week when we'll bring you another beautiful package of the Everyday Muslim. I leave you with Maher Zain, Palestine Will Be Free. Bye for now.
Show my fears. I keep my head high.